Tweet at Miriam O'Call.
Earlier this year, I spoke to Shannon Murray, actor, writer and daughter of the late Frank Murray, manager of the Pogues. Well, Christmas time brings a whole host of thoughts and memories to the surface for Shannon, and she's here now to share some of those with me. Shannon, good morning to you. Great to see you again.
You too. Good morning, Miriam. Thanks for having
me. You look
back.
Great. You look really healthy.
Thank you. So do you.
Now, listen, Fairy Tale in New York, it's a favourite for so many people. But for you, there is a direct link through your dad. Frank, what age were you when you first heard it?
I would have been about 11 going on 12.
And was it just your dad mentioned it, or how did it all come about?
He would regularly play demo tapes in the car. A friend of mine once referred to it as audio kidnapping, because you had no say in what was on the radio if you were in dad's car. And it would frequently be demo tapes. So you would just be listening to the what sounded like the same song, but obviously different production values with each one. So obviously he's listening to it very intently and we're sitting in the car going, oh my God, we're listening to this song again. So I think it was the first one of the Pogue songs that I really loved, because I was an 11-year-old girl. I was kind of into pop and not really, you know, into the band. It was just dad's job. It was what he did for work. But when Fairy Tale came out, I was like, oh, this is different. This I like. And also I loved the fact that he had Kirsty back on it, because I'd known Kirsty since I was about 4 or 5 when he'd managed her in the early 80s.
Remind people who don't know where your dad originally is from.
He's originally from Dublin, from Walkinstown. He was so passionate about it. He loved it. And he loved when he lived in London, he loved coming back home. And then when he finally moved back here, I think he spent about his last 10 years here. And yeah, he was very settled. He was such a dub through and through.
Now, Fairy Tale, famously, it didn't make it to number one that Christmas in 87. Was your dad, can you remember if he was really disappointed?
I don't remember it being a disappointment. I think it was such a celebratory time. And there's always this build of excitement when you know the phone call is coming. It used to come on a Sunday morning that would tell you a chart position. And I can remember, you know, all of us were in Glasgow waiting to hear what was the position going to be. And then it went to the Pet Shop Boys. So, you know, there was a disappointment that you didn't nail the number one, but the song was so huge. And I think the fact that it is still so huge, I mean, it has a life of its own. Most people won't remember what the Pet Shop Boys song was that, you know, hit the number one spot, but everyone knows Fairy Tale.
And what was the Pet Shop Boys song?
It was You're Always On My Mind.
Now, of course, you were on the road with the Pogues in the run-up to that Christmas. You were in Glasgow, of course, and as we know, Kirsty MacColl was your brother's godmother. Tell me about his christening in Glasgow.
So my mum and dad had been trying to get my brother's christening in the diary for ages. By this point, he had just turned 2. And the reason we couldn't pull it together was because all his godparents were, well, there was Kirsty and then there was 2 members of the road crew. And getting everyone together in one place was proving impossible. And then when we were in Glasgow, mum was like, well, we can do this now. And we were staying at a hotel that, you know, when you used to get yellow pages in a hotel room. And I can remember seeing her sift through the yellow pages, calling local Catholic churches to find somebody that could pull together a christening at 24 hours notice. And she did it. I mean, that was her skill. She pulled those kind of things together. But it was a brilliant day. But my brother was, you know, obviously 2 and running around the altar while the priest is trying to, you know, put the water on his head. And we found some photographs of it last year. And it's, you know, there's Joe Strummer, Kirsty, the band, BP Fallon, close family friends. I mean, there's a whole crowd there. So, yeah, it was a very unusual christening.
I read your lovely piece in the Irish Times talking about that time. And give me the picture that's in your mind's eye of your mum, Fergus, and your dad, Frank, and of Shane and Kirsty, and how you saw them through the filter of that great song.
I think it was always a period of excitement. The one that kind of sticks out more prominently would be the following year in 88, when the band had, you know, achieved more success off the back of Fairy Tale. And we were at Wembley Arena. And this was the first time that I was showing interest to actually go to the gigs. Before, I had very little interest. I'd been to, you know, a gig at SFX the year beforehand, and Dad dragged me on stage for the encore, and I was absolutely mortified, but it was, you know, it was brilliant fun. You couldn't say no. So with Wembley, it was like, you know, this huge, huge arena, and it was, I guess, a feeling of pride, because Wembley is such a landmark gig to play. And it was the run up to Christmas, so there's all that thrill and excitement. It had been my birthday the week before, so I'd got a new pair of cowboy boots, so I was feeling very cool hanging backstage, knowing the songs better than I had done previously. But then when Fairy Tale came on, I can remember the synthetic snow starting to fall, and that's when, you know, Shane and Kirsty would do the waltz. You know, she'd come on the stage, there'd be a huge cheer, because there was so much love and affection for the both of them. So yeah, it's a happy period. And, you know, even I can still have a clear memory of rainy night in Soho, and, you know, backstage was dark, but I could see my mum and dad kind of waltzing around in the dark in the backstage area to Rainy Night. So, you know, all those kind of special memories are all tied up in Fairy Tale, in other songs. It's all, you know, they were such huge parts of Christmas back then.
Yeah, that's such a lovely story. Now, they're all sadly gone now, the four of those. And sadly for you, Shannon, they all died close enough to Christmas, didn't
they? I know,
they?
It's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, also, you know, inextricably linked to, you know, a very famous Christmas song,
yeah,
and all passed around Christmas. Yeah.
Do you find that difficult, or now that you've got a bit older, do you find it less difficult?
It really varies. There's the point of the year where, you know, you're getting into November, and I know Fairy Tale's going to come on the radio at some point, and it's just when it's going to be, or am I going to be in a shop, and am I going to be in a restaurant, and when am I going to hear it? And sometimes you hear it and you're absolutely fine. Other times I hear it and it will just hit something in me and I'll be shopping. I mean, last year I was in Exchequer Street and I was coming out of a newsagent's, and the newsagent's was playing it, and I came out and I was just sobbing. Yeah, sometimes it hits harder.
But I think, is this right? You've made a decision about how you're thinking you're going to deal with remembering them, at the same time celebrating them and celebrating your own birthday.
Yes.
Explain.
So my mum always made a big deal about my birthday, I think because it falls in mid-December, and to make sure it was separate from Christmas and that it was distinctly my birthday and it wasn't tied up. And I guess that enthusiasm for my own birthday came from her. So as an adult, I've always celebrated it. I think I did one year where I was like, yeah, I don't need to celebrate, I'm fine. And I was so miserable. So I've learnt I do need to do something. And then when Dad died on the 22nd, I was like, no, I'm not going to be one of these people that Christmas is ruined. It was a very conscious decision. I'm not letting it ruin Christmas. So from then on, I would meet with friends on the 22nd. You know, go somewhere swanky for champagne, and make it a celebration, raise a toast to him, because that is 100% what he would have wanted.
100%.
And now, you know, given that my mum passed on the 6th of December, I do the same with her. And I think because December is such a social time, it works to my advantage, because it's quite easy to get people to agree to come out for a drink. And then it's also that time of year where if you want to hibernate and, you know, quietly have a drink on your own, just thinking of them, whatever, it's nobody questions that either.
Mm.
So I think I find it easier than if it had been like at the height of summer when everyone's expected to be, you know, outside and happy and buoyant and having fun. There's something comforting about having lost them at Christmas. I know that's not going to be the case for everybody. I think it's really personal, depending on the circumstances, the relationship. But for me, I find it to be a source of comfort. But I do go out of my way to make sure I have nice things planned so that I'm not at a loss as what to do with myself.
And I never met your mum, but I was lucky enough to interview your dad, Frank.
Yeah.
About him managing the Pogues just a month before he died, actually, Shannon.
Yeah.
But in that interview, his adoration and love for you was so powerful, because if any of my listeners forget, of course, when you were only 14, you were paralysed in a swimming accident.
That's right.
So do you find it life a challenge when your parents are gone? I mean, lots of people find it a challenge when both of their parents go.
Yeah.
But you're still a relatively young woman. Does that make you in your life, does it make it more difficult they're both gone?
No, I thought it might. But I feel like I have transitioned to a new phase. I think when you become, I mean, I hate the phrase adult orphan, but when you're in a stage in your life and you've lost both parents, there is definitely a shift, a huge loss. And then that's replaced with an inner strength. And I think I've really thrived on that. And because I cherish and value my independence more than anything, I'm just, you know, building upon that. And, you know, even though they're not physically with me, mm-hmm. I know they're still with me and I know they're cheering me on.
Finally, where are you spending Christmas yourself? Where will you be on Christmas Day?
I will be in Portland in Oregon, and I will be spending it with my brothers, my sister-in-law, my niece and nephew.
I've loved speaking to you again, Shannon. Thanks so much for coming in today. You're a remarkable person. I've always believed that. And they mind you forever from heaven, by the way. Your mum and your dad. Happy Christmas to you. And now we're going to listen to that fabulous song, The Pogues and Kirsty MacColl and Fairy Tale of New York.
Thanks.
It was Christmas Eve, babe. In the drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one.
The great fairy tale of New York there. And just one text I have time to bring you. Frank Murray was a lovely guy. I remember meeting him and Fergie in their home in Dublin many years ago when my brother Ted was with Thin Lizzy. Fergie used to make stage shirts for various bands at the time. I remember them fondly. And that's from Kevin Carroll in Carrigaline.